you first.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
All right, very good. So open up to public comments.
For items not on the agenda.
For items not on the agenda. I'm hearing none, so we will move on. Draft minutes from the last meeting to be approved.
What we need there is a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Motion passed. Draft minutes approved.
Let me move to an internal operations update. We have no specific update to give you. We can move right to discussion items.
Okay, so we'll move to discussion items. Discussion item one.
Discussion item one is, at this point in time, there is no chair and vice chair for this committee meeting. So usually there's it's kind of an informal discussion between both members. And typically what happens is one will do it the first year in this committee and the other will do it the second year. You might informally in your discussions talk about maybe reversing the first time for your other committee meeting. So I turn it back over to you.
Okay. And Carol and I actually just looked at each other and made this agreement that I will chair the internal operations, and she will be vice chair.
Excellent. Okay, going to item number two. Discussion and provide possible feedback regarding the COVID-19 prevention program and adding it to the Town Discovery Bay's existing employee injury and illness prevention program policy. We have an injury and illness prevention policy. Cal OSHA has required that we add a component to that policy, which is for COVID-19 prevention. Matt has been working hard on a draft policy, and so I will turn it over to Matt.
Good afternoon, Internal Ops Committee. As the Human Resource Admin for the Town of Discovery Bay, one of my responsibilities is to update our internal documentation to maintain compliance with changing policies and regulations. Due to the global pandemic, Cal OSHA imposed a new safety standard and regulation obligating public employers to create and implement a COVID-19 prevention program, or CPP, to protect employees from COVID-19 in the workplace. These regulations went into effect on January 1st, 2021, and will remain in effect until October 2nd, 2021, unless extended by Cal OSHA. In these new safety standards, Cal OSHA requires that all California employers have a written plan to be added to our existing Injury and Illness Prevention Program, or IIPP. The IIPP policy applies to all district employees, consultants, contractors, and volunteers. An important component of the CPP is identifying COVID-19 exposure risks and communicating administrative controls such as cleaning and disinfection protocol, face covering requirements, and physical distancing requirements while at work. The CPP outlines protocol for record keeping and mandated reporting of COVID-19 cases to the local health department and Cal OSHA. A draft of the CPP is provided to you as agenda item E2 for you to review and provide possible feedback. Staff requests to bring the item to the Board of Directors meeting on February 17th, where we will ask for approval of the COVID-19 prevention program to be added as section 10.0 to our existing IIPP. I'm happy to answer any questions for the committee at this time. Thank you.
I have one question. So I know there's a lot of discussion out this about this. I mean, every business all over since last year. Now that we do have the vaccines, is there any discussion that we would require vaccines of employees?
There's no discussion or regulation at this time about requiring vaccines or even requiring testing. So at this time, no.
Okay.
slipped away from me, and it's coming back. I know it is.
Okay, I was just trying to review it.
I know. Rewind.
And it is a working draft. So.
Okay, very good. I'm assuming that does this specify the hazard pay or the time off pay that's required by the state? Like, is that all defined inside the
document? There's a section that references that.
Okay,
but, that pay does go away with March 31st.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know how that was going to apply since
there's a section referencing.
Okay.
There. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it looks pretty straightforward. A lot of work.
Yeah, it does look like a lot of work. Go through it all by the.
I am the expert.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's going to be tweaked a little more before the board meeting. We constantly notice things, and we wanted to get your core comments regarding it, but it'll look a little bit different at the actual board meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you have any anything in here that you were hesitant about? Is there any concerns that you have that's going to final draft?
No, everything was pretty straightforward, and things that were not applicable were removed.
The changes that happen sometimes hourly, daily with this, I mean, it seems like that's going to be a lot to keep up, to be honest with you. You know,
that's why it's a working draft, and
probably have to stay like that for a while.
We're going to go through it again. We've already gone through it a couple of times, and we go through it so that the actual requirements in there will live beyond, small changes, so that it'll be one that will endure. Whether the health officer changes something here or something there, it'll still be something that can be maintained as good office practice in terms of any infectious disease control. And if they eliminate COVID-19, then maybe we get to eliminate this, but we try to make it enduring small changes.
And that's why we're adding it as section 10.0. So if there are minor tweaks or additions, we can add them like 10.1, 10.2.
And do we address visitors and vendors and that they are required to?
Yes, well, at this time, the district office is currently closed to the public.
Yeah.
So it is addressed in the plan. And it also is addressed that any visitors, should there be any, are required to adhere to the same policies.
And what if they don't? Who can the employee go to? You or you? Who?
They go to me.
They go to you and just say, this guy won't wear his mask.
Oh, yeah.
See? So I had to say, guy.
Very good.
I'm just kidding. Okay, fabulous. This is great.
Good. All right. Was the only action for us to just give you initial feedback or recommend that it goes to full board?
Feedback is appreciated, I guess approval to take the draft to the board for approval. Right?
Right, that could just be by consensus.
Yeah, I think you agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good.
Thank you.
Maddie, we're very hard on
it. Yeah, no, it shows. It definitely shows, for sure.
Thank you.
All right, let the fun begin. We're moving on to the next item.
Which is I tasked our assistant general manager with looking into a video system for board and committee meetings. Quite a bit of research was done, and I'm going to turn it over to, and we have a recommendation, and I'm going to turn that over to Assistant Manager Breedstein for the presentation.
Okay. Well, welcome to the first TODB review of the proposed video conferencing system. Within my slide, I will walk you through the selection criteria, the product reviews, and what our surrounding cities are currently doing. Joining me today on the phone is Ron Graham from Precision IT Consulting. He is our IT service provider, and Tiffany Bagala. Tiffany is the Director of Sales for Sandler Partners. Sandler Partners is a business partnering firm for network solutions. Ron had introduced me to Tiffany when we were looking for a new office phone system. So naturally, I requested her services once again when looking into video conferencing. So Ron and Tiffany, welcome to our internal office committee. Thank you. Okay, so Ron did inform me that he is probably going to be a few minutes late. He was requested so elsewhere, but if you have any questions regarding technical matters, if he is not on the phone able to answer them, I will write them down and I will get them get back to you. So if we could move to slide number two, please. Video conferencing software selection criteria. To enable us to select the right product for Discovery Bay, I first developed a set of criteria that was important in a software solution. Those items were ease of use and flexibility, camera and sound system operations and integration, training and support, number of attendees, cost, customer service, control, requested a two-room solution. So we wanted a solution for the board and for the committee meeting room. Move to slide number three, please. Before you is a list of software solutions that were reviewed. Tiffany was helpful in looking for a solution that fit the list of requested demands I presented to her. Those options were Zoom and GoToWebinar. I also chose to look into a few more solutions to get a well-rounded view of options available. I comprised the list of pros and cons to the above. Zoom. One of the pros of Zoom is since COVID-19 has a pandemic, many people are using and use the solution for gathering. One of the cons of Zoom was the meeting controls on the back end for the web meeting. They were not as good as other solutions. GoToWebinar. One of the pros were the meeting controls on the back end were extensive. One of the minimal cons, there weren't very many, but one of them was, is that you could not sign on as anonymous. You had to use your name, or you could put in a fake name if you really felt that you wanted to be anonymous. So residents that logged in would be requested to put in some type of name. Third is Granicus. Granicus is a government full service solution, starting from the agenda process through the meeting minutes. One of the pros, it's a very organized solution, especially for a large agency that has many departments all gathering and importing staff reports for a meeting. The con is it's a government solution. Government solutions, in my experience, are not very flexible, and they don't always enable manipulation, and they can be cumbersome, and in many ways would not fit our specific agenda process. It is also very expensive. Vimeo Premium. The pro is simple to use. One of the cons was it's limited in their meeting controls, and their customer service was absolutely not good during the research process. It was actually a distasteful process of getting a demonstration from Vimeo. WebEx was another solution I looked at. One of the pros of WebEx, they've been in industry a long time, and they work with many large corporations who use this technology. One of the cons is its controls and flexibility were not found to be suitable for our small agency. Microsoft Teams, a pro, it's very easy to use. The cons, their video viewing and presentational screen sharing is not as good as some of the other solutions listed above. And then Civic Plus, the pro, it's a government solution, so it does understand some of the needs of government. The con is it's a government solution. It's also very cumbersome and not very flexible. You can move to slide number four, please. So here on slide number four, I provide a view of what our surrounding cities are currently using and what they're doing. I've spoken to a few of my colleagues at these other agencies to understand what solution they are using and how their experience has been going so far. The locations that have saved their video recordings of their meetings, I watch their meetings to see how their solution looks to the residents. The reason for doing this was to ensure that we provided a software and equipment package that is professional and understandable for the residents of this country. Slide number four, please. Staff's recommendation is to use GoToWebinar Pro by LogMeIn. The basis for this recommendation was that it was a solution that hit all the criteria and then their customer service and professional demonstration of their platform was absolutely amazing. They answered all my questions and offered a full service solution for the Town of Discovery Bay meeting needs. Slide number six, please. speakers of the GoToWebinar that I really thought were great were their unlimited storage, log me in, or the ability to publish it on your own platform. So we can save it within the log me in platform. We can also save it on our own website or a server or however we choose to save it. The branding and logo abilities were really good. They do push meeting notifications. We can regulate the public comment to 3 minutes. There were numerous controls and capabilities within this platform. We can do a customizable registration page. We are able to monitor meeting attendees. They have, of course, the hand raise feature, which most of them do. But one thing that I thought was really interesting is that it allows for public engagement with polling, surveying, and chat features. We can turn these off, but if any in the event down the road, if we ever want to use these features, we have them. There was a meeting locking feature that we could use for closed sessions. They provide detailed recording, in-depth training, was easy to use, and their customer service was really, really good. Slide number 7, please. The GoToWebinar, the cost for this service is a 36-month contract term at $199 a month or $2,300 and change annually. These costs will be shared between the Water, Wastewater, Community Center, Zone 8, and Zone 9. Water and wastewater will pay for about 80% of the annual cost. The community center, Zone 8, and Zone 9 will pay for about 20% of the annual cost. Are there any questions regarding the platform?
So first, this is probably a good time to tell you that this is a lot of detailed work, and I'm sure it was a lot, and it is very much appreciated. I love hearing the selection criteria that you used on the front end, because that definitely helps shape the end result. One of the questions I have, so with the GoToWebinar account, how do they do logins to that? Is it a single login for the one account, or do they give you multiple logins for employee use?
The webinar, I believe it was a single login. Tiffany, do you recall? I agree. I do think it was a single login, but you can, I believe, also add additional administrators, so you can share administrative rights. So you would not have to be the only administrator. You can share that.
Okay, but the webinar is limited to one simultaneous conference?
Correct.
Okay. Do we ever...
Per GoToWebinar instance, you're able to have one simultaneous webinar.
Okay, and then does staff have any scenario where more than one would be necessary?
You do also have, as part of Town of Discovery Bay, you have the GoToConnect video feature. So should you guys need to use GoToWebinar license in the main boardroom, in the committee room, if you had a simultaneous meeting, the GoToConnect licenses that you guys already have will work in there.
Does that work as a separate room, or does that work in conjunction with the primary room?
It's completely separate.
Okay. So do you see where I'm going? I hope I'm not trying to be vague. Just that would there ever be a scenario where there would be simultaneous meetings, either a closed session meeting in conjunction with a committee meeting or something similar?
In the history, I have not seen that in history. It's usually one meeting, 1 hour, another meeting after that. I don't see that. Mike, do you think there are any instances where that would occur?
No, because currently the closed session becomes kind of an outcropping of the regular board meeting. So yes, you're either in one or the other. They're not going simultaneously.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure there wasn't like a, you know, potentially a two committee meetings at the same time. That doesn't ever happen.
No.
Okay. And then, sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. It has never happened in our past.
Okay.
So I don't guess in the future planning on that way. But.
And generally, the reason for that is staff can't be in two places.
Of course, yeah. Just want to make sure. And then with the meeting such as this one, where we've got a committee meeting, and it would be immediately followed by potentially another committee meeting, and then a full board meeting. Do you anticipate having the same public ID on all of the meetings? Whereas it might be that a meeting is going on up until the beginning of the next meeting, and public would join potentially in the middle of one meeting to be present in the second meeting. Does that make sense?
It does. There is a meeting locking feature. So if you wanted to do that, you could lock the meeting. Even though they run back to back, we could lock the meeting. I'm not sure if that's something we would want to do.
Sure.
Then it doesn't, it's not exactly an open meeting for our residents.
Yeah.
Whereas just as if we were having a board meeting or a committee meeting, they'd be coming in late or coming into one. So I'm not sure if we would want to lock them.
Okay, perfect.
But I might add to that if you were planning to publish the meetings, so record the meetings and then publish them either on your website or on through the lock-in side, if you were to individually record or have those meetings separated, then it would be easier to go back historically and say, I wanted to check out this specific meeting and what happened and read through the transcript if the meetings were separated out. So that is really a personal preference. It can be done either way, but for tracking purposes, normally people would separate them out.
Well, then, and yeah, I guess that's kind of where I was going with the back-to-back. So you would want a clear delineation when one meeting ended and the next meeting started so that you could have those as two separate recordings. Would that then involve anyone that was currently connected to that meeting being disconnected and then they would have to reconnect?
Yes, they would.
Okay. I could go all day. Do you have any?
No. No, you're good.
Okay. I think I'm good.
Okay. Should I continue on then?
Yep.
Okay.
So let's move to the equipment. Yep.
Move to slide number 8, please. Same thing, like I did on the software side, the video and audio equipment selection criteria. Again, I did my best to set up the criteria that I would be looking for. Of course, ease of use and ease of setup, cost and payment options, rental, lease, or ownership, customer service, capabilities, functionality, video and sound quality, a two-room solution, warranty is a big thing and important, and a multi-platform system integration. I didn't want a video system that is tied to one solution. And then, so if we can move to slide nine. The video equipment that I reviewed were Poly, Epiphan Video, Boxcast, and then some standalone cameras and microphone solutions. I'll start with Poly. Poly was once Plantronics. They also then moved to Polycom. So I think Polycom purchased Plantronics, and now they're renamed Poly. They are the leader, they're one of the leaders in communication equipment. This was the recommended equipment provider by two of the top software providers on the previous slide. The second computer brain I looked at was Epiphan Video. One of the pros to Epiphan was that it was easy to set up. It was a touch screen. One of the cons was I needed to research on my own separate camera and microphone solutions. They really didn't recommend anything for me. Same thing with Boxcast. That was also just the brain of the platform. The pro was it was clear and easy to use as well. You could have used an iPhone for video equipment, though I don't think that would have been a good option for us. The con is that you also needed camera and microphone solutions. So I was looking at different options to be used with the Boxcast. And then Boxcast also had its own cost associated with the service. Some of the other standalone cameras, I looked at Sony, some of the other name brands out there for cameras and microphones. I did take a look at Cisco Systems, which was also kind of a competitor to Poly, but I did get a representative to call me back, and then poking around at their website, I couldn't really clearly see their video equipment, since that's not the only thing that they handle. So we can move on to slide 10, please. Staff's recommendation would be to go to with Poly Visual and Audio System. This was an all-in-one solution that integrates with the GoToWebinar meeting platform, as well as some of the other meeting platforms listed above. Slide number 11, please. So this is what you'll be getting in your package. It's the Poly Boardroom G7500 with an Eagle Eye 4 12-time view camera, a TCA Poly Studio X30 bar for the committee room, and TC8 is actually the administrative controller, and then the Poly Studio X30 video bar would be for the meeting room. One thing I want to mention about this Eagle Eye camera is that it can zoom in on the board member that is speaking or at the podium. So whoever is speaking, it will zoom in. It has that technology to work with their system to realize who is speaking, and it will, you know, like I said, zoom in. One thing that I research on with the Poly sound bar is that when you're at the back of the room, you can almost hear it as clearly as if you were standing next to the sound bar. Their technology is pretty amazing. You can scroll to page 12, please, or slide 12. There are two different options to pay for this that I'd like consideration for. The first was Precision IT to purchase the equipment with a secure warranty. That total cost is roughly $12,000 plus installation. The second option is that we can lease to own the equipment through LogMeIn with the same 3-year warranty, 36-month contract at $483 a month, or roughly $17,000, same installation cost. Now, the one thing I'd like you to consider is that if we do purchase the equipment outright and we don't like the LogMeIn webinar system, this equipment can be utilized with any of the options above. So we still own the equipment, and we can change out the meeting solution. If we lease to own, I'm not quite sure how that would work with if we do everything through LogMeIn, and it is more expensive. Again, the cost would be shared between water, wastewater, community center, zone 8, and zone 9, with wastewater paying for 80% of the annual cost, and the community center, zone 8, and 9 paying for 20% of the annual cost. Are there any questions or comments about the equipment?
No, I think you did a fabulous job, and I'm very, very happy with everything I'm hearing. Do we have this budgeted?
We did not have this budgeted because this came up recently as
right.
Something to ask in.
Mm-hmm.
Though I do, excuse me, did I miss? I'm sorry, there was a question?
No.
How we
okay.
would pay for this is out of reserves.
Okay.
We would.
On the equipment, did you evaluate the any additional microphones that attach to the base unit for the board meeting room? So Polycom or Poly, they have those additional microphones that connect back to the base station for remote.
Mm-hmm. I can answer that for you.
Okay.
So we went over the dimensions of the boardroom, and based off of the dimensions and how the room is laid out, the sound should be sufficient. But should you guys need any additional sound, there are options for additional microphones that could be purchased, but everyone felt confident with the size and how the room is laid out that we would not need them.
Okay. I have a lot of experience with Polycom. It's a great solution, but I did find that even in rooms that are rectangular with a single table of like 10 to 12 feet, that sometimes people on the ends of the rooms aren't heard very well. But obviously this is newer equipment, so it potentially could have solved that problem. So that might be something that you price out as a potential, just so we have that information if we decide we needed to.
Okay. Okay.
I think we could also supplement by the fact that we do have microphones for each board member.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a solution in the back of the room and it needs some more oomph, we can also utilize our mics to help compensate.
Yeah,
I wonder how that would mess with the camera pointing feature. But anyway, these are all down the road things.
Okay. You can also control the camera zooming feature from the remote. So keep that in mind if
For sure.
Needed.
For sure. Yeah, that's really my only concern. I think the equipment selection is awesome. My concern is with my real interest in a video conferencing system was just because of the old phone system, having trouble hearing, especially the deeper voiced people, when they talk, their voices are muddled, and it was really hard to hear on recordings and on phone calls. So. Audio, I mean, if we're going to spend this much on a solution, then I would love for the audio to be absolutely pristine.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Do we need to talk at this point about leasing or purchasing? Or is that something we'll talk about at the board meeting?
You're free to talk about it now because that's part of this, and you're free to make a recommendation. Because our next step is to bring this, your recommendation before the board, have the board approve it, and then at the next meeting in February, and then we're looking at making whatever tweaks we need to do, getting it up and running, and hopefully it'll be up and running around the first meeting in March, which we intend to, if it's up and running, to use it for one of the committee meetings. Probably the communications committee meeting, and that will be our test ground, and then we will actually try to be up and running for the full board meeting that's in the middle of March. So if you want to talk about cost ideas and how to pencil that out and make a recommendation, that's fine.
I just have one more quick question on equipment. Are you anticipating using existing TV or video for the presentation?
Okay, so I'm glad that you brought that up because Mike and I were talking about some different solutions. One, I've actually asked Ron to look into some things for me. One, to either have little smaller just monitors at each of your stations at the board dais, or to either have a couple of TVs within the alcove, but I just want to make sure they might be too small because I don't want to hit somebody in the head when they're coming into the meeting to sit down. Or another option was to put TVs on stands in front of you, but not blocking your view. And another option would be to get a big TV along the wall where I sit at most of the committee meetings and board meetings, where Aaron, myself, and Monica sit, and that can be pulled out from the wall so that you can see who's attending the meeting, some of the residents attending the meeting, or who else is speaking.
Okay.
So we talked about those different options also, what would be preferred, but I'm having, definitely had Ron kind of look into some of those options, what would be best. So if you have a suggestion, I am all ears. I would love to hear what you think.
In my experience, we've always done them in general conference rooms, so there was always a wall of focus, and then everyone sat around a table. And that seemed to work pretty well, but it was also a massive TV. I mean, we're talking 70-inch.
Yeah, we're talking about maybe something that goes on this wall and flips out this way.
Okay.
The other thing would maybe be to put monitors that allow you to see over the monitor, but you can also look down at the monitor here. So we're looking at kind of what solution makes the most sense.
Okay, and that'll be an additional budget purchase item that'll that can get expensive.
It would be.
In the room, the committee room, does that already have any type of TV in it already?
It does not. And what we're looking when we for the video solution in there is that it's actually portable. It's something we can kind of put on a stand and put it where we need it.
Like a crash cart, roll in, roll out. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, like I've not seen the individual monitor. That's actually a very interesting idea. It would be really interesting to see how that costed out. If it wasn't cost prohibitive, that would be a really nice solution to make it seamless.
Yeah.
But obviously it'd have to come down to, you know, what's the cost of rolling that around. I guess another option is always to having, you know, some sort of portable display unit like an iPad or even something like that that could be put at the station. You know, you had 5 iPads, you're done, right?
Yes, absolutely. I can get multiple ways. So the city of Tampa actually uses the product and a lot of the equipment here, and they have the individual monitors. That kind of gave me the idea. But their monitors are huge, and they each have a big cable to themselves, you know, and I want to make sure the residents have your full view and full attention. So
for sure.
It maybe an iPad or a smaller handheld monitor would be, in some sense, a better way to go instead of a big TV. I just don't want you to not be able to see who's speaking. I don't want any squinting. It would just get frustrating, I think, on the board member's part. So we'll continue to look at different options and bring those back.
Okay, awesome.
Also, I just want to add that, you know, our most important thing is, of course, getting the system, getting it installed, and the monitors might be something that takes a little bit longer.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I think that's it for
me.
Do we want to talk about
The cost option?
Do you know what
option that I?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. was there a cost option for leaning towards with what I presented, or any other questions regarding that?
Okay, so I'm not a finance guy. However,
okay.
I like to act like I'm one every now and then. Is there any? This is ignorance about, you know, how a town operates versus how a corporation operates. Is there any benefits, CapEx, OpEx, on a lease?
No.
Okay.
So there's no...
I don't think there is a benefit.
Okay.
And because they're exactly the same three-year warranty, it would be a three-year lease. At the end of that, we would own it. We'd have the same result and just paying a little bit more for it. What I'm going to be doing, though, is in our capital budget is actually putting replacement with start building a fund for replacement for this equipment every 3 years just in case something breaks. The one benefit to the lease to own is that during that time, if something fails or breaks, Log Me In would replace it or fix it or, you know, whereas if we own the equipment from Precision IT, we'd have to call Precision IT out to analyze it, review it, and then either replace it. So,
I mean, this stuff is fairly set it and forget it. Very rarely breaks, and if it does break, you replace a whole component. You don't replace, like, internals. It's a swap.
Mm-hmm.
And Dina, you're comfortable this purchase price through Precision IT? Is it a good price? Could we do any better? Is there any?
I don't believe any better. They quoted me one quote, and then they got it down a little bit. They squeezed a little bit more, so we squeezed them a little bit, and they got it down to 11.7. So I do think it's a fair price compared to what Log Me In is offering at the same equipment for.
It does. It seems reasonable. That sounds about right. What I would do is, you know, I'm sure you guys did as well, is I would just Google the equipment, look on the sites that come up, and just kind of eyeball it. And as long as it's reasonable. I mean, they obviously are adding some, a little bit of padding for themselves, but that's expected. It's a business, so. It seems reasonable. Are they authorized resellers of the Poly equipment?
Tiffany, do you know the answer to that? No, they themselves are not, but they are getting the equipment from, I'm going to blank on the company that they use, but they are purchasing the equipment from authorized reseller.
Okay, so
and
then
I apologize.
Is that going to be a pass-through to us
for
the warranty? Do we go back to them? And then, so what I'm wondering is a lot of times when you do things like that, so the company that sells it to you then technically owns it as far as the warranties are, you know, concerned, but if they're not an authorized reseller and they resell it to you, then it sometimes plays havoc with warranty. I'm sure you guys have thought about this and they've probably done this before.
Don't know about that.
Okay.
Right.
That would be something
to
double check.
Any other equipment that they purchase.
Okay.
Through this company, and I apologize, I cannot remember the name of it.
And then since they're purchasing it from a reseller, you figure the reseller already added something on because, as you said, they are a business, and then Precision's getting it, and they're gonna add something on because they are a business. So, I would just be curious to know. Yeah, when you do Google it, see what you see out there.
Okay. Yeah, and I wouldn't look at it as much of a reseller. It's more of a wholesale relationship than a reseller, if that makes sense.
Okay. I personally don't see the benefit of doing a lease.
No, me neither.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
So I agree. Let your more finance minded people weigh in on that, but I don't see a benefit.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions or concerns right now?
I don't think so. I think it's a solid recommendation. Good job. I really appreciate the info. One thing that I would love, if it's not too much work, I know when you went through the decision and you did all these comparisons, did you happen to put that together in some sort of decision matrix? Like where you put your products and the criteria and then kind of built out like a pros cons matrix? For lack of a better word, you can't see my hands, but they're going everywhere.
I didn't matrix. I actually just did a pros con list. So anytime I saw a great feature, I added it to a pro, and then anytime I, saw a negative, I just added to the con list. So I didn't do a matrix. No.
Okay. So just as I would love to see it if when making this presentation to the full board. If you did one slide that had the decision matrix that could then be entered into the record, just because, let's say, in 2 years from now, log me in, we find out that they're the worst company in the world. Won't happen, but let's say that did happen. You can go back to your day of decision and show why it was made. You can show this is why we picked this product because these were the criteria, this was what was important, this is why it was selected. And then that way we're future-proofed on any, any problems going forward.
Yeah, I believe Director Callahan that what she had orated it, but if we can see it in a graph. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just it's part of the presentation.
Right. Got it. I think we can do that.
That'd be awesome.
So for clarity, we're going to bring this back to the board with the recommendation that we go with the suggested companies, both for the software and the hardware, and that we look at purchase over lease.
Correct. That's correct.
Good. I think we have direction. Okay. Anything else, Dina?
Nope, nothing else. Tiffany, thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, absolutely. Thank you all.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. So that was the final discussion item. We are going to move to any future discussion or agenda items that we want to add.
Yes, I would like to be on the agenda for next time. So have put on the agenda for next meeting is we review the policy for the sign, the electronic sign.
Okay.
But should that go under communications or under?
That's communications.
Okay.
We'll save that for the March meeting. Because communications has a special meeting. We've got two items on there, and you're going to have another meeting a couple weeks later. We need something for that meeting and to prepare for it as well.
Okay. I'm hearing none.
Right.
Okay. So since we're hearing none, move to adjournment. Meeting concludes at 5:15.